The Tabernacle, Chapter 38, Exodus 36, 37, and 38, and Exodus 25. Probably you do not understand the title which is written over this chapter. Well then, let me tell you that a tabernacle is a tent. I hear you say already, there is not much to tell about that. That would be true if we were going to tell about a tent such as campers or soldiers use when they are out on the fields. No, I am not going to tell you about a common tent like that. I want to tell you about a beautiful tent in which the Lord has lived. Read what is written in Exodus 25, verse 8. We will read it together. The Lord says there, "And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them." So now you know at once what I mean. The Lord, the God of Israel, will come to live among them. Now you must not think that the Lord had need of a dwelling place. Oh no, the heavens are his habitation. But the Lord is also upon the earth, for he is everywhere. Why does the Lord then say that he would come and live with the nation of the Israelites? Boys and girls, it was as though the Lord said, "I have delivered you out of Egypt. Pharaoh has been drowned, and all those enemies are dead. I have given you bread from heaven, the manna, and water out of the rock. I have brought you safely to this place, and now I will also bring you into Canaan. When you arrive there, I will protect you from the enemies that are there. I will be with you and will help you. I am your leader and king. So now you must make a sanctuary for me. You must build me a temple. That will be the sign that I am in your midst." Must the Israelites build a temple of stone? No, that would be impossible, because a stone temple could not be moved and taken with them. It would be necessary to let it stand at Sinai when they traveled further toward Canaan, and then all their trouble would have been in vain. For that reason, the children of Israel had to make a tent. The Israelites themselves lived in tents too. They could roll them up and take them along whenever they traveled further. So they must also make a tent, a tabernacle for the Lord, which could easily be taken down whenever they moved, and which could quickly be put together again when they were permitted to remain a few days at one place. However, at the same time, it must be a very nice tent, a beautiful tabernacle. Isn't the palace of a king a very nice and large house? Therefore, the tent of their heavenly king must be made very nice and large also. One day, Moses called the people together and told them that they must build a tent, a tabernacle. But, he said, "I need beams and boards to be able to do it. Curtains must be made too. The beams and boards must be neatly painted, not painted and covered with red, brown, or green paint, but they must be covered with gold. Therefore, I also need gold. Besides, I also must have silver and brass. This tent must also have a roof, isn't that so? Otherwise, the rain will make everything inside wet. This roof would not be a roof of slate, tile, or shingles as our houses have. No, but it must be a roof of the skins of animals." Moses also asked for that. He said, "Who of you can spare anything for the tabernacle? If you can, then you must go for it and bring it here to me." Boys and girls, now you must give this your best attention. The Israelites were not forced to give their belongings to Moses for the tabernacle. They were to give it willingly. We in our country have houses too, in which the Lord is pleased to dwell. They are the churches. It is asked of us also if we will give something for the service of the Lord. Every Sunday this is collected by the deacons. They go around with the collection plates to collect this. What do you give for the service of the Lord? Do you give as little as possible? That is shameful and disgraceful. If anyone can spare a quarter and he gives a nickel, he is stingy. Whenever there is a boy or a girl who really cannot give any more, then it is well. But if you can give more and you don't do it, then the blessing of the Lord will never rest upon it. We must give as much as we can. The Israelites also did this. Look, they walk to their tents and soon return. Everyone gives something. They that are rich give much, and they that are poor give a little. But everyone gives something. They bring it to Moses, and he thanks them kindly. Soon the gifts are piled all around him. Gold, silver, and brass lie there, and also nice linen curtains. Heaps of hides, that is, skins of goats, of badgers, and of rams lie there. Yes, even some come carrying splendid diamonds. But from where did the Israelites get all this gold and silver? You know that, don't you? Now then, tell me, they got it from the Egyptians. Good. The Egyptians gave them all this. At that time, they did not dare to refuse giving it. And now the Israelites give their treasures for the service of the Lord. They bring so much that Moses soon calls out, "That is enough. I do not need any more." Perhaps there were also Israelites who thought, "I will not give anything. I don't want to give anything." All right, but those selfish people could never say later, "I also helped and gave something." This was always in their mind. Nothing of mine is there. Perhaps a little later, they were ashamed of themselves. Could Moses make the tabernacle alone? No. But that wasn't necessary either. All the people had to do it together. "Now you must help me," Moses said to the Israelites. They began to do this, and they were very busy. The women neatly embroidered the curtains. Angels and flowers had to be embroidered on them. They surely did their very best. The boards must also be planed and made very smooth. Beautiful figures must be carved into the beams. The skins of the animals must be carefully sewed together. Oh, there was plenty of work. If we want to make something, we must know how it must be made, isn't that so? Now there were two men who were the overseers of this work. The one was named Bezaleel, and the other Aholiab. Try to remember these names. They were very capable men, for God gave these two men wisdom. They knew exactly how everything had to be made. If the Israelites needed to know anything, they could go to Bezaleel and Aholiab, and they would show them how to do it. A pleasant bustle prevails. Everyone does this work diligently, willingly, and with gladness. It was pleasing to them that they were permitted to help in the building of this sanctuary of their king. When the women were finished with the curtains, they brought them to Moses. He examined them, and if they were satisfactory, they were put away. Finally, everything was finished. How beautiful it looked! Everyone had done his very best to make it as nice as possible. They then began to put the tabernacle together. Would everything fit? The beams, overlaid with gold and shining in the sun, were set upright. The beams couldn't stand just on the ground. They had made silver bases in which the beams fitted perfectly. The boards were not nailed fast, but they were fastened with gold rings. When the walls were up, the curtains were put over and across them. Neatly embroidered curtains were on the bottom. The goat skins were laid over the curtains, the skins of rams over them, and on top, the skins of badgers. Thus there were four layers over each other. Now not one drop of water could seep through. The tent itself was divided into two parts. In between these two parts hung a very heavy curtain, which was called the veil. The smallest portion was called the Holy of Holies. The other portion was called the Holy Place. Now that the tent is erected, they say to each other, "Isn't it nice?" They are really proud that they have made all that. Look at those people over there. They are coming with a chest. It is a wooden chest overlaid with gold. However, the cover is made of solid gold. Two golden angels were placed on top of this cover. This chest is called the Ark, and the cover is called the Mercy Seat. The Ark of the Covenant is placed in the Holy of Holies. But more things are coming. A few men are carrying a beautiful table. It is the table of showbread. From another place they come carrying a lamp, not an electric lamp, for they didn't have them, but it is a lamp with seven oil lights. They are made of gold, and therefore they are called the golden candlesticks. And finally, they bring something else, a beautiful golden altar, which is called the golden altar of incense. These last three things are placed in the second division of the tabernacle, the Holy Place. Can anyone come near this tabernacle? Why, no. Isn't there a garden around the palace of a king and around that a big high iron fence? So also a separation comes around this beautiful tabernacle. This is called the outer court. A fence also is made, not a fence of iron, but a fence of curtains. Brass pillars are put up in many places, and between these pillars white curtains are hung. Two articles are placed in this court. Another altar is put there, but this one is made of brass instead of gold. Its name is the Brazen Altar of Burnt Offerings, and the other is the Brazen Sea. Water is put into this so that the priests can keep everything clean. How beautiful! How beautiful! Look at the pictures attentively, and you will see all this on them. Behold, that is now their sanctuary, their tabernacle. The Israelites think that it is beautiful. But, will the Lord also think so? Will the Lord be willing to live there? The Israelites do not know, and they cannot give an answer upon that. Look, suddenly everyone's gaze is directed above, toward the pillar of the cloud. It descends slowly upon the new tabernacle, and in this pillar of a cloud can be seen a fiery glow. This cloud was not the Lord, but it was a sign of His presence. O children, this was a sign of the Lord's approval, and that He would be willing to dwell there. The Israelites stand there and see this. Their hearts are filled with reverence. They are glad that they have given all those things willingly. They do not regret it. Those Israelites who had not given anything because they were too selfish also stand there, but they are not glad. They go stealthily away to their tents, for they are ashamed of themselves. Yes, that is the result of and the punishment for their stinginess, and they cannot remedy it any more, for it is past.